Welcome to this anointed message taught by Pastor Lynn Schall of Amazing Grace Fellowship. We believe your life will be enriched by hearing the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God. Here's Pastor Lynn.
Galatians 6, let's turn there. Did any of you ever read a book that was written? I think it was in either the late 70s or early 80s. Any of you ever recall a title, Dare to Care Like Jesus? Yeah. Pretty thought-provoking book. It kind of challenged. It just took basically 12 or 13 characteristics of Christ and how that worked out in care to challenge us to see if we would take the dare to care like Jesus. And I think I titled this sermon, Who Cares? And we looked last week from this portion of scripture. I think we got through the first five verses of this chapter. Let's continue on in this whole chapter. We'll start in verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. There's several givens that's not stated, but they're there in this portion of scripture. Obviously, this person who was taken in a trespass was repentant, or they would not have wanted to be restored. Are you with me? Okay. So that's a different ball game than somebody who's been overtaken in a trespass but has no care to be restored, or is non-repentant. So there's a whole difference. But this guy or gal, whoever this fictitious deal is, this kind of thing that started there, if anyone, whoever that is, Paul says we're to restore that person in a spirit of gentleness. Obviously, because the person is hurting, right? Care needs to be shown. In the first statement that we made, Paul said to make sure that we consider ourselves, lest we also be tempted. How many of you know, not but for the grace of God, every one of us could fall? Isn't that right? And so the first point that we made is to make sure that we're not judging others. We just need to simply consider ourselves and to realize that we could find ourselves in need to and need to have somebody show love and care for us as well. Verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So in fulfilling the law of Christ, something has to happen. In other words, we can't fulfill the law of Christ just up here in our brain, or we can't fulfill the law of Christ just in our heart. To fulfill the law of Christ takes something in the natural. And you've heard me say at least a couple times probably that there really is a very physical side to being spiritual. In other words, it has to work itself out. We read John 15:12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as, that's the qualifier, as I've loved you. Greater love than has no man than this, than to lay down one's life. That's physical for us friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command. And then we read in John 13 that this new command that he gave us, that we're to love one another as he's loved us. He says, by this love, and obviously we know it's love that's shown, it's care that's shown, that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. In other words, you've probably heard this phrase in business, or maybe you've heard it in kind of motivational speeches, that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Isn't that right? We all kind of understand that. But in context of loving as Christ loved us, how many of you know Jesus didn't look at mankind and proverbial say, boy, I just want you guys to know I really love you. I hope you make it through. His love was translated into something physically done. And that's the thing that I think is important for us. If nothing comes out of this other than for us to realize that, love's not a mental deal, and it's not just a desire that we try to show people. We only can show love in the physical. In other words, love works itself out by things that are done on behalf of others. Amen? Does that make sense? And I think that's kind of a little bit upstream from how we as Americans, the core of who we are as a nation, we've kind of got an independent thing going on that caused the founding of our nation. And there's great about that, right? I mean, there's some great things about, we can just do it on our own. But when it comes to serving God, when we give our heart to Jesus Christ, we just didn't join and just in a personal relationship with God. It's not just between me and God. Are you with me? We joined the family of God. And like it or not, we're part of the family. And guess what? So the family has to learn to live together and care for one another. This last week, Carson and I were doing some stuff, and I had a hacksaw and was sawing a bolt off. Well, that hacksaw went through the bolt and through the flesh of my thumb to the base of my what do you call it? Thumbnail. I didn't look at my thumb and go, well, served you right. Shouldn't have been there. What? And guess what? I just didn't let it bleed all over the place. What did I do? First of all, after I hollered, I went and got some stuff, and I figured, you know what, there's probably some cruddy stuff. There may be even steel filings in there still, I don't know. But I went and at least tried to take care of it. Why? Because it needed care. Is this the most important part of my body? No. It's a long way from my heart. I don't know how many times I heard growing up, oh, it's a long way from your heart, you'll live. And unfortunately, my children have heard that a whole lot. I don't know how many times my kid go, Dad, I know it's a long way from my heart, but it really hurts. It's like, okay, are you okay? Well, you're going to live. And they go, yeah, I know it's a long way from my heart. I'll live. And it's like, okay. But the thing is I had to, and now I don't know if you can see very much, but there's probably about 3 match heads worth of wound, right? Compared to the square footage of my body, it's minimal. But guess what? I need to tend to this thing because there's cruddy stuff. And it hurts. Oh, you just never realize how many times you bump the end of something until you hurt it, right? So what does that mean? We take for granted. Do you think we take for granted one another in the body of Christ? Now, you could look at me, or I could look at you with your thumbnail that hurts, or, you know, your little whatever, right? Have you ever had a little hangnail that you got, and it's like, how can something so stinking small drop you to your knees, right? It's like, whatever. Now, we could look at it, and we make judgment calls, and we're going to get into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul tells us that we make judgment calls all the time. We could look at that and go, that's a long way from your heart. I mean, look at it. There's only 2 or 3 match heads there of wound, whatever. Cowboy up. It's not that big of a deal. The question is, I don't have the right to make that judgment call for somebody else. To them, I mean, this isn't that big of a deal. It is a long way from my heart, and it's non-life threatening. So guess what? I am going to get over it, I think. Right? But the thing is it's you can't make that judgment call for me and say, you know, Pastor, that's not that big of a deal. Well, in reality, it isn't. But the thing is we can't make that judgment call for one another. He says, bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. So that fulfilling the law of Christ works itself out in real everyday life with people, right? And that commandment that he gave, by the way, is non-negotiable. It's just non-negotiable. It's not if I can get around to it, I need to do it. And I just love the fact that the hallmark that shows that somebody is tied to God is the love / care concern that they show on the behalf of other people. That, and you know what? Over the years of ministry, it's just been amazing how many times people have been brought to Christ because of them watching how the body of Christ can love one another. They just look at that and go, man, that's just, because how many of you know really, in outside of Christ, it's, now there are pockets of great things that take place. But by and large, the world, we, you know, and left to our flesh, we look out for number one. Isn't that right? And we can easily become selfish. 33. If anyone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. In other words, that's tied to verse 1, consider yourself. In other words, it's easy to look at ourselves and see ourselves in a whole different light than we really are. And it's just as easy to look at someone else and see them in a whole different light than they really are. In other words, it's easy to make judgment calls, right? He says here, but let each one examine his own work, and then he'll have rejoicing in himself and not another. In other words, that typical interpretation of Scripture is that, you know, examine your own work, examine your own life, and just look at yourself. Okay? There is certainly a responsibility that we have of ourselves that no one else can fulfill. I can't live a godly life for you. Amen? I can't have a devotional life for you. I can have one for me, and I can live a godly life myself. And there's that responsibility that I have that I can't shirk, I can't put on anybody else. But he says, let us examine his own work. Well, part of that work has to be verse 2, because bearing one another's burdens is work. Amen? Yeah, it is work. It's not easy. It can be really fulfilling. There's sometimes it's hard and not fulfilling. Maybe you've worked with different type of people than I have. Any of you ever poured your guts into somebody and have it all of a sudden just turn around and get twisted up, and all of a sudden turns around, stabs you in the back, and wants to, you just feel like you want to die? And it's like, wait a minute, this all started out of me wanting to try to help. Right? So there's times that you can give out a lot and it just is not fulfilling in the natural. But how many of you know we do all of our stuff is under the Lord anyhow? It just doesn't matter. Because the only one that's watching that really matters is God. And so we love because. It doesn't matter if we get... Now, there's a lot of times there's an instant feedback. I was helping somebody on a computer program at ISU was trying to work on a project, and they just had some difficulties. And so I sat down and just met with them for just really not very long at all. And you would have thought that it was the most life-changing thing in the whole world. So sometimes the time you spend or whatever it may be, there can be an instant sort of a feedback that it's like, wow, that's fulfilling. But there's a lot of times that there's not. Any of you ever raised a puppy? Raise your hand. Let me just ask you a question. When you get that little puppy, you love her, right? Hopefully it's not the same love that you love your wife with, but you love that little puppy. But how many of you know that little puppy poops? In inopportune times and in really inopportune places, right? If you have it in your house or anything like that, right? And they pee in the wrong spot. And, you know, any ever discovered a little puddle 4 or 5 days later? Because they went behind something. Or you walk in and it's like, something's up, all right? They had a urinal and intestinal collapse. Okay, but guess what? What do? You care for that puppy by picking up its poop and by training it, right? Because having a puppy is not just all about fun and just not just all about little furry stuff, you know, just cool and all that. Because you got to train it because it's probably destroyed at least a pair of shoes or one of the shoes. Or mama's not happy because the bottom of the furniture has been eaten. Are you with me? And you know what? But it's the love that you have for the whole picture. It's like, okay, I understand it's going to take this. Now, sometimes we, you know, it ends up being more than you thought it was going to take, right? But whatever, it's love that compels us. And let me ask this. Any parent here has ever been up in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, as your kid's puking for the 15th time and stuff's everywhere? And it's no fun. We care for them. Why? Because we love them. It's love that compels us to care. And that's the thing in the body of Christ. And listen, it's not fun. I've never met a parent yet that in the middle of the night or, you know, whatever, or the umpteenth puke, wherever, I've never met a parent yet that just goes, oh, isn't it just fun being a parent? Never seen that. Not in the middle of the moment. Now, I have talked to most parents that go, you know, those things, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, well, you have to do that. You know, real time, it's really no fun. But big picture, love compels you to do things and to show care that maybe in the natural you just wouldn't. And the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts as Christians, right? The love of God. Not just some low-level love, but the love of God. Agape love, which loves just because. I'm sure Jesus had many times, you know, Jesus healed some people, at least on one occasion, healed 10 people of some pretty big dog stuff, and only one of them returned around and said thank you. But because God is love, how many of you know Jesus didn't give up? He just kept loving because. Here it says, but let each one examine his own work. And so look at yourselves personally, but then as well, how are we doing at carrying one another's load? For each one shall bear his own load. You can't interpret that strictly in a personal level because there's been too much said already about other people. So I have to look at how am I bearing up my load, my own load of my responsibility for Lynn, but I also have a responsibility to the family I belong to bear one another's burdens. And how am I doing at that? Okay? Now I know sometimes, especially us Americans, we look at, well, you know what? I didn't have anybody around. I got through it, so you get through it. Okay? I understand that. But as long as we have the idea in our thoughts, and I think we do to a greater degree than we'd maybe sometimes acknowledge, that if we have the thoughts that, you know what, well, I got through it. Leah, life can be tough. I got through it. We then transfer that to other people, and we have this idea. So you know what? You can do it, and you don't need me. Do you think that happens? I think it does. Maybe not on purpose, or certainly, hopefully not on purpose. But How are we doing at carrying our old load? Now let's go on. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. So now it looks like just a whole set of gears is being switched, and I want to encourage you, it's not. It's still in the context of caring and showing love. In fact, he's just talking about a different way to care. He's talking about here with those that teach the word, that others who receive that teaching ought to be able to care for the person that's doing that. Then he says in verse 7, this is a huge verse, guys. Do not be deceived, God's not mocked, for whatsoever, sister word of all, whatsoever a man sows, that he will also reap. How many of you have found yourself at one point or another in life on the receiving end of care? Raise your hand. That you needed somebody to love you and care for you. I mean, we all need that, but man, you needed it, right? Well, if you didn't raise your hand to that, and it was honest, then just give yourself a little while. Because we'll all be on the receiving end of care at some point or another. And in fact, several times throughout our life. And you know what? It's okay. But when you're a part of a family, I mean, if you know that care is there, that when the thumb gets hurt, guess what? The rest of the members come and wipe the blood up and put antibiotic and whatever else on it and put a Band-Aid on it and whatever, that it's there. And you know, I just want to encourage you, if you find yourself, maybe you've been in a time of life that it seems like you're just on the receiving end of care. You know what? I just want to encourage you, rest in that. It's okay. You obviously need it. Okay. But there'll come a time that you'll grow to health to where you can be giving as well. Does that make sense? I know a lot of times people that you know, maybe find themselves in a tough physical battle or find themselves in a tough emotional battle or anything like that. They just feel, oh, man, all I'm doing is receiving. It's like, okay, you need to. It's okay. It's okay to receive, because there will come a time you won't stay in that spot. There will come a time that you'll be able to give out yourself. Isn't that right? Okay. So if we want to receive care, guess what we need to do? We need to give it. If we want to receive love, we can show love, right? And that's the interesting thing. We can still be on the receiving end of care, but we can still be one that shows care. Now look at verse 8. You see, a lot of times, because there's verse numbers, let me just take a side road for a moment. A lot of times when we read the Bible, we see verse numbers and we think, oh, different thought. Oh, there's a different thought. Oh, there's a different thought. And so we take stuff sort of out of context and we begin to interpret it out of context. And sometimes we arrive at interpretations that are okay, maybe aren't detrimental to the whole counsel of God. But there's times that we lose contextual stuff and we can lose the power of it. Because look what he says right here now in verse 8. He says, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Now, if we take that out of context, we come up with an interpretation that's valid in many respects, but you lose the punch. You lose the depth of it by taking it out of context. We all understand. If you've been a Christian for any amount of time at all, we know that our flesh, our carnal fleshly desires, okay, things like giving in to anger, lying, cheating, stealing, you know, whatever it may be, certainly sexual deviation, all that sort of stuff. If we give in to those things, we all understand, if we've known the Lord for any amount of time, we understand where that leads, right? Sin leads to death, and our flesh doesn't agree with God, right? So we understand that. So then we have the idea, we then go, but those that sow to the Spirit, and so we turn it all individual. And certainly there's truth to be applied on the individual level. So I just need to walk in the Spirit, and I need to sow to the Spirit. But in context, this is talking about care and love that's shown. So now look at it in light of that. For he that sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. You know what? Sowing to your flesh is selfishness. Sowing to the flesh is meeting your needs. And listen, left to ourselves. Now, you may have schooled yourself in God, in maturity, and all that sort of stuff. You may have schooled yourself to continually look out for others. But listen, if you leave yourself to yourself, and if you ignore your own personal responsibility before God, do you know where we'll all end up? We'll all end up sitting in the proverbial recliner in life of which we want other people to bring fan leaves and grapes. And be selfish in our life. If you sow to the flesh, You'll of the flesh reap corruption. But listen, but if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap everlasting life. So let's go further. In Romans chapter 5, it says that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. So if we sow to the Spirit, now let's just look at that. That whole phrase right there just conjures up a ton of different things to a lot of different people. What does it mean to sow to the Spirit? And for most, end up, most people take that phrase and they end up and it doesn't become concrete. And so if it doesn't become concrete, then it just becomes this stuff that's up here or feelings in here. But listen, if we sow to the Spirit, just ask yourself this question. If you come across somebody that needs love and care given to them, what would the Spirit of God do? Love and care for them, right? Jesus said, I was naked and you clothed me. That's natural. That's natural. Something natural got done. He didn't say, I was naked and you wished that I had clothes. He said, I was hungry and you fed me. He didn't say, wow, when I was hungry, I watched you eat. When I was hungry, you said, oh, be warmed and filled. I love you. No. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was hungry, you fed me. If you sow to the flesh, you'll of the flesh reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you'll of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So now let me just ask a question. So, Pastor, are you saying that showing love and concern can lead to everlasting life? Yep, I'm saying that. Are you awake now? Pastor, are you saying that that speaks to my salvation? Yep, I'm saying that. It's not the work in itself that saves us, but because we're saved, the work has to follow. Does that make sense? Because I'm a Christian, if I'm going to do it right, because I'm a Christian, I need to show love and care for others. So that is part of my salvation. Are you with me? Well, are you saying to just go do good works and you'll be saved? I'm saying if you're saved, you better be doing good works. That makes sense? Okay. 9. And let us not, isn't it interesting here? That's why when you read this, and you can't take verse 8 out of the context, because you lose its truly, you lose the real depth. And let us not be weary in doing good. For in due season we'll reap if we don't lose heart. So let's just chat about that for a moment. How many of you know you can grow weary in doing good? Isn't that right? We really can. Because it takes work. Amen? But guess what? If we just hang in there, if we don't grow weary. Well, Pastor, how do I not grow weary? Good question. How many of you know all that we do is unto the Lord? What saps the strength out of us is when we do it and we don't receive the immediate feedback from people, right? After a while, you can just end up kind of cynical. You know, I hate to say this, but many in ministry end up kind of cynical towards the end of their lives. Well, all you do is just help people, and all they do is just turn around and stab you in the back. So they just end up looking like they've been baptized in pickle juice by the time they're done with ministry. You know, they're so prune-faced, just... We don't want to be like that. I'm not going to be like that. Durrett's not going to be like that. Amen? Why? Because we don't do it for people. Do you know what I mean? That's not true either. We do it for people, but we do it as unto the Lord. So that, you know what, whether there's anything that's immediate that comes back, that doesn't matter to me. I'm going to love and care because I can't help it. Because that's how God is. Right? I don't do that always successfully. I'll just be honest with you. But how many of you know God loves those that respond with thanksgiving, and God loves those that don't. And He loves those that don't just as much as He loves those that do. And that's our goal. Therefore, look at this. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Wow, look at that. Therefore, as we have opportunity... Listen, if you don't know of any opportunities, call the church office. we can put many opportunities in front of you to care for people. But how many of you know, really, when you become a part of a family, the family of God, and when you become a part of a local church family, how many of you know there's always opportunity? There's always opportunity to show love and concern and care. People do it all the time. We've got an incredible amount of people that show a lot of love and concern throughout this body. You know what? Now, well, let me say this. We're not maxed out. Okay? There's more opportunities that we can help with. In fact, we have more opportunities than we have people to fill. All right. Go to the book of 1 Corinthians. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Are we all okay? All right. Verse 20. Indeed, there are many members, yet one body. I think many Americans read it this way. But now, indeed, there are many bodies, yet one member. We do church by ourselves. But it's just the opposite. There's many members, but one body. And the eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No. Much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Now look at verse 12. Verse 12, if you don't mind writing out of the side, judgment call. Because it says seem, which seem to be weaker. It doesn't say those members of the body which are weaker. It says which seem to be. Well, who's the one that decides if they look weaker? We do. We humans do. Well, they're weaker. Well, how do you know they're weaker? Because you really don't know. We're just making that call that they're weaker, right? It's a judgment call, okay? And those members of the body, which we think, in our estimation, in our judgment, to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unrepresentable parts have greater modesty. Now, again, who's doing the thinking? We are. Paul said, those which we think to be either honorable, if we think they're less honorable, then we bestow greater honor, and vice versa. But our presentable parts have no need. Again, who's making that call? God's not. We are. Okay? But God composed the body. Right there, Paul now is bringing us back to ground zero. He's bringing it back to how it should be. Because he's saying this. He said, listen, in the body singular, in the body, there's a lot of members. And we get into all these judgment calls. If we think they're weaker, oh, we think they're less honorable, so we're going to prop them up with greater honor. And those that we think are greater honor, we don't even have need of those. But he says, God composed the body. Thank God for that. And how many of you know God knows? Having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. And again, that's a judgment call on our part. That there should be no schism in the body. In other words, God composed the body to be a unit that works together. Now listen, I could cut off my little finger and live. In fact, I could cut off my arm and live. I could cut off my other arm and live. You ever see, any of you my age ever remember the movie Monty Python's In Search of the Holy Grail? Halt! Who goes there? What's the king? Oh yeah! Prove it! Do you remember the last part of that? Both legs are chopped off. Both arms are chopped off. And there's this stump of a guy jumping on the ground, right? But let me just ask you a question. Sorry. Some of you are like, I've never heard of such a thing. Okay, I haven't seen it since my college days, so it may not even be funny anymore, but during real time, oh, couldn't get enough of that. That's crazy. Here's the thing, though. That crazy guy's body, was it reaching its full potential? No. So I could take off stuff that I don't think is important, but guess what? It wouldn't allow this body, if I cut my arm off, even though I could live, it wouldn't allow it to be what it was created for. Right? So I'm not smart enough. None of us are smart enough. None of us are insightful enough to make the kind of judgment call that deems people weaker, less important, more important, or whatever. Really needed, not needed. Look what Paul says. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same, everybody say it, care for one another. What kind of care? Not levels of care. Based upon people that we judge to be whatever, we should have the same care for all of us, right? And if one member suffers, hurt your thumb, all members suffer. When that hacksaw went into that flesh, I'm going to tell you, my little toenail felt it, right? If one member suffers, we all suffer with it. If one member's honored, all members rejoice with it. So the thing that's important for us is now go to the Matthew chapter 5 and we'll start wrapping this up. Matthew 5 and verse 13. Jesus, talking on the Sermon on the Mount series, "You're the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it," the earth is what the "it" is, how shall the earth be seasoned? "It is then good for nothing. The salt that's lost its savor is good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You're the light of the world." Jesus is also the light of the world, right? "A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." I mean, if you know, the love of God and the care that we show should be shown to all. Christians shouldn't be lovey-dovey to Christians and then stingy old people to somebody else who's not a Christian. Right? Why? Because that's a respecter of a person. And here's the truth. We're just not smart enough to make that call. And it's not our responsibility to make that call. Our responsibility is to show the love of God to people. Amen? Doesn't matter. Just people. "Nor did they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine." Could we say it this way? That light is a huge word. Let your light, in other words, all of who you are as a Christian, and the hallmark that Jesus said that people will know that we're connected to Him, the hallmark, isn't how many hours we spend in the prayer closet, but I encourage you, spend time in your prayer closet. It's not how much we sacrifice to get up and go to church on a Sunday morning, but I encourage you to do it. It's not how much we give, but we still need to do it. It's not how much we, you know, buffet our bodies. It's not based upon that. The thing that Jesus said, "By this will all men," those that are attuned to God and those that aren't, "by this will all know that you're my disciples, by the love that you show for one another." Right? "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." Whenever you start talking about works within the body of Christ, people get really tense. Because what we don't want, people don't want somebody saying, "Well, you can't work your way into heaven." You know what? We're not talking about working your way into heaven. As a child of God, you've already got a pass to go. It's just that now while we're here on this earth, until we get to heaven, good works better be a part of our life. "Well, I'm not going to work my way into God." I don't know how many times you have that conversation. It's like, cool, if that's where you're at, cool, don't work. Just don't do anything. Just go home and pray. Just pray all day. Don't do anything. Silly. Once we're a Christian, showing the love of God needs to be a part of our life. Right? "Well, I love people. Just don't like to be around them." Okay, well, whatever. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." Now look at this. "And glorify your Father in heaven." I'm going to tell you what. Loving people, showing care, is probably one of the greatest things that we have control over to point somebody to Jesus Christ. Because you're not going to beat them in an argument. What I mean by that, you never argue somebody to become a friend of God. Never. But what we have control over is me. I can control whether I love or whether I don't love. And you know what? I just need to love, do it as unto the Lord. And then I have full faith and confidence that God, by His Holy Spirit, kicks in and does His thing. Amen? All right. Next week, I'm going to go to the Old Testament. Been studying this week a portion of Scripture that's just really been insightful to me, and in light of this, and we'll close next week on this deal. But so come ready to learn as well. All right, we have an assignment this week. We're going to see how much love we can show to people. Amen. And it can't just be "love you, man." Right. And listen, all of us, of course, you know, love starts in the family, right? In your personal family. But you know what? It has to go past that as well. To other people. You mean I have to carry somebody else's load? Yeah. Because you're going to need somebody to help carry your load. I don't know about you, but I'd rather have five guys pushing a pickup than one.
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Pastor Lynn Schall of Amazing Grace Fellowship, Twin Falls, Idaho. We hope this teaching has inspired you with the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God.